And welcome in to You the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out the website veritasmedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's what we do, veritasmedical.com. Let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good, Wade. How are you doing this morning?
Doing great. Hope you had a great weekend, as usual.
Yes, we did. Had a lot of fun this weekend with the family. Excited to be here. Have another great guest in studio joining us today for a testimonial show today to give hope and encouragement to those of you out there that maybe have been super sick for 30 years or 20 or 10 or any number of years, that there's always hope. Just want to remind folks that the American medical education system, unfortunately, has narrowed the curriculum down to really good diagnostic tools. So we're good diagnosticians. We have really cool machines that take cool pictures, MRIs and CAT scans and PET scans and EKGs and all these cool things. So we can kind of get a decent look with technology into what's driving your symptom. However, even all that cool technology is a little limited. It doesn't always give you an answer. But even when it does, it just that answer is called a diagnosis. That's a label. And then there's a pharmaceutical that goes to that label. And it might surprise folks, or maybe it doesn't, actually. If you listen to this show, it probably doesn't. But doctors are not encouraged or trained. It's not part of our training to really ask why. Why would the heart be inflamed? Why would the blood pressure be up? Why would there be acid in the esophagus causing esophagitis? Why would bloating be in the stomach to cause IBS or ulcerations in the colon to cause Crohn's and ulcerative colitis? Or why would there be all this inflammation in the joint we call rheumatoid arthritis? Or why would the myelin sheath be broken down in multiple sclerosis patients? Why is there a cancer tumor there? What's the root cause? We are not encouraged or taught about, you know, how to ask that question or answer that question. We really are taught how to label someone's symptoms. Like if you have a headache, then we're going to ask a few questions, maybe run a scan if the answers to your questions point to we need to scan your head, like you had head trauma. But we'll ask a few questions, maybe run a scan because we need to categorize that headache as a migraine headache, a tension headache, a cluster headache, or a sinus headache. And those are your three or four basic headaches. And once you nail that label, then there's a pharmaceutical specific for migraines. There's a different family of pharmaceuticals that are for tension headaches and different for sinus. So that's it. That's as far as our education and our quote-unquote medical workup goes. Get you the label. Go to the pharmaceutical that treats that symptom. We manage asthma. We manage diabetes. We manage high blood pressure. We manage all these symptoms, and we don't resolve them. And then there are some symptoms that we just can't find a diagnosis for. So then we'll just throw these patients into a catch-all, like chronic fatigue syndrome. And I'm not saying that doesn't exist, or I'm not minimizing folks who have chronic fatigue. What I'm saying is we don't go deep enough to find out why is there chronic fatigue and can we resolve it instead of just manage it. Or fibromyalgia, and these are real symptoms that people have. I'm just saying they get labeled a certain thing. So could there be something driving that? That's what we're going to talk about today with a patient who kept digging and kept pushing and kept looking and investigating and wouldn't take these labels as the answer. And unfortunately, it takes a lot of times us to be real, real, real sick and then get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And when you've been to 10 doctors or 20 or however many, and even Hopkins and Mayo and all these great places, you know, they were all trained the same way the doctors here in Lubbock, Texas were trained to treat a symptom with a pharmaceutical. So, but before we jump into that, I need to do my announcements because I'll forget if I don't. And my main announcement is me. I'm giving a talk tomorrow night, 7 p.m., October 4th. That's tomorrow. The Corruption of Medicine is the topic. It'll be at the Underwood Cotton Exchange building. I need to probably relabel that building because it's now going to be the Veritas Mercantile, I think, is what we've settled on. But we're about to open that Mercantile and Grocery Store, hopefully November 1st. We'll talk about that more on another show. But tonight, upstairs, that is right next door to Veritas Medical downtown on Texas Avenue and 14th Street. We'll be up there talking. about how does the love of money truly impact our health / healthcare system, why are most published medical studies wrong, and then we're also going to talk about the solution. So come listen to that tonight, or tomorrow night, Tuesday night, 1320 Texas Avenue. All right, there's other things we could talk about, some headlines, but we're not going to today because we want to leave plenty of time for Miss Angie to tell her story. And as we've said on other testimonial shows, this is to highlight, number one, the resiliency of the human body and the human spirit. Number two, God's amazing design. And the body's not, we didn't just evolve out of pond scum, and so we're not highly evolved enough, and therefore our body just doesn't know what to do sometimes, and it breaks down into this thing we call disease. No, the body's beautifully designed. It's designed for health. You should be healthy. God intends for you to be healthy, and it's lack of knowledge, lack of stewardship, and collectively I'm talking as a culture, we've so mismanaged God's creation. We haven't sought Him a lot of times in the way we go about our business, whether that's how we farm, how we build houses, how we live our life. I mean, it's so every aspect. Are we really being led by the Spirit always? So there's lots of pieces to this puzzle when you're trying to figure out, why do I not have health? Why do I not have peace? What's driving this inflammation? So my perspective, and at Veritas our perspective, is the body's designed for health, and if it's not healthy, then it's lacking something. And usually that's found in one of those four pillars: nutrition, hydration, movement, or peace. And I throw sunlight into the movement because we should be moving outside. But there's these basic things that the body needs to function normally. Or If it's not on that side, if you've given the body, truly given the body all that it needs, and it's still struggling, it's still inflamed, it's still symptomatic, then you might look at what is the body exposed to that it shouldn't be exposed to. And there's plenty of that in the world. And like we talked about on last week's show with Dr. Rom and the Clean Slate product, talking about detoxification of toxins, your body's designed to grab toxins and eliminate them. And now that body needs to be well nourished, it needs to be moving, it needs to be hydrated, it needs to be at peace to optimally detoxify itself. But for various reasons, and we'll get into some of that here in a minute, the body can become overwhelmed with toxicity. And that can drive inflammation. That can manifest as lots of different labels, different diseases. But something's still driving that inflammation. So I'm going to give the microphone to Angie to share her story, because it is a story of pursuing root causes, pursuing the truth, and knowing and believing that God designed her body to function, and when it wasn't functioning, why not? And how, you know, just keep digging. And we're going to talk about an overwhelming toxin that was driving the inflammation in her body. All right, Miss Angie Jamison, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for giving me a chance to share and hopefully encourage people.
You're welcome.
So I have to go back to when my initial significant symptoms started when I was 16. And it happened all of a sudden. I was cleaning a bathroom in our house, using one of those kind of dustbuster type vacuums with a handle, and I went to empty the dust cup, and the dust from that cup blew up in my face. As soon as that happened, I felt lightheaded, I felt dizzy, I had to sit down, I got a headache. And that just started these significant symptoms that we didn't understand. I got a horrible migraine. I had to go straight to bed. I was debilitated and couldn't get out of bed for days. Went to a doctor, ran a mono test, because that's what you do when you're tired. So the initial test they run.
Yep.
And it was negative. So the doctor says, it's negative, you're fine, force yourself to go back to school. So I did. 3 days later, I was significantly worse. I spiked a fever. The lymph nodes in my neck swelled up so large I couldn't turn my head. And they were visible. You could see them visibly. Went back to the doctor, a different doctor at this point, who ran another mono test again, and this came back positive. So at that point, what do you do for a virus? You go home and rest. So I was told to rest. And that's all I could do anyway, honestly. There was nothing. I couldn't get out of bed. I was completely flattened. Just attempting to take a shower wore me out, and I had to go back to sleep. I was sleeping at least 20 hours a day. We had to put curtains and blinds and towels over top of the windows of my room to basically turn it into a cave, because every little bit of light made the light sensitivity significantly worse. Migraines were worse. So this goes on for days, turns to weeks. Go back to the doctor, run more tests. No explanation for the symptoms I have besides it's mono. Go back home, continue to decline, no additional answers, no reasons, no explanation for why I'm continuing to have all of this fatigue and horrendous headaches. At that point, the doctor's a little puzzled as to why I wasn't improving, because you bounce back from mono, and I had had mono the year before and had a typical experience. I was down and fatigued for a week or two, and then back in school and was fine. This was different. This was significantly worse. So he's a little puzzled. So he refers me to another doctor. I go to, it was an hour away. I lived on the East Coast at the time. And this doctor was associated with a medical school. So you're thinking, you know, he has more tools in his toolbox. He can run more tests. So he's running more tests, doing more elaborate things. And the only thing that comes back is elevated in presence of Epstein-Barr virus, the virus that causes mono. And I remember him saying that my levels were the highest he'd ever seen. So, okay, that's an explanation for the fatigue. Again, go home and rest. At this point, I'm unable to go to school continually, so I eventually got to the point where I needed to be officially withdrawn from school. I was a junior in high school, doing multiple things. I had an after-school job. I was involved in a lot of things. I was president of my class. I was in student council. I kept stats for the basketball team. I was constantly involved in things. And I just completely crashed and flattened and couldn't do any of that. So I was officially withdrawn from school. I did thankfully have a teacher who was willing to be my tutor, who would come to my house and bring my work. And I attempted to keep up. It was a struggle, though, because I'm getting a migraine every day. So he still couldn't find anything. So he's referring me to other doctors. I'm seeing a neurologist, see what's the reason for the migraines, doing an MRI, seeing an allergist, because obviously there was something in that dust that triggered this dramatic collapse. So he's running all kinds of tests, doing allergy testing, the skin prick test, and so forth. The only thing, there were a couple things that minor showed up, but nothing that would, including dust, but not to the extent that would have explained the symptoms that I was experiencing for the length of time I was experiencing. So it's just, give me prescriptions for the symptoms. Okay, you have headaches, here's ibuprofen, which I had no appetite whatsoever, so I wasn't eating. Then I'm taking ibuprofen on an empty stomach, which destroyed my stomach. So then it hurt to eat. So then they're giving me Zantac to attempt to alleviate the stomach pain, which then has other problems. So every little thing that would come up, I was being given another possible medication to try to see if that would help. None of it helped, and then the side effects to those just compounded matters more. I tried seeing an herbalist to see if there were medications that could help overcome the Epstein-Barr virus. That didn't help. Saw a chiropractor who was addressing maybe some soft tissue things going on in my head and neck to see if that would help with the headaches. That didn't really help. Nothing helped. Then I'm whittling away to almost nothing. I was lean to begin with, and then I lost more weight. I was probably 90 pounds. All I was doing was sleeping, couldn't eat. It was really debilitating. Eventually, I started, and at some point during that time, I then wasn't able to sleep. So then I'm up half the night. I'm exhausted because I'm just so fatigued, and then I wasn't able to sleep. So then they gave me another prescription for that to try to help me sleep. none of these things really made any difference. I'm not quite sure when the flip was, but I did eventually, after months and months and months, gradually start to feel somewhat improved. It probably wasn't until the summer, so it was a good 6 months of just being completely bedridden, where I was starting to improve a little bit, to the point where I could semi-function. I was thankfully able to finish my junior year of high school at home in bed most of the time, but not until July. When my senior year rolled around, there was something in my favor at our school. Our school was being renovated, so they were doing split shifting, and I was a senior. Juniors and seniors were only doing a half day in the mornings, so I only had to go to school for a shorter time, which is the only reason I was able to go back to school, because I would somehow manage to function through the morning, and then I would just go home and sleep the rest of the day. It took probably until the end of my senior year to start feeling semi-normal again. So I gradually got better. Probably a year and a half of that. Was then able to go to college and so forth, still semi-functioning, doing pretty well, I thought. And then I would have another setback. Thankfully, those setbacks weren't as significant, dramatic, or as flattening as the first one. That first one was completely debilitating. I was really only functional 2 hours of the day, and that wasn't really functional. But every setback after that, which I really would have probably every 2 or 3 years, I just have a recurrence of fatigue and the headaches would get worse, repeated migraines. I would have to cut back on my schedule, work fewer hours, maybe drop a class, just do something to be able to just get by. And then I would get a little better. And this went on for years. And I would see doctor after doctor after doctor to see why. It just never made sense. I didn't understand, why is my immune system not addressing this? Why am I continually getting these recurrences of what I thought was just a relapse and a recurrence of Epstein-Barr virus? Sorry, I should go back to when I was originally sick. The doctors at one point then said, well, this must be chronic fatigue syndrome because we can't find any other reason to explain your symptoms. Mm-hmm. Which that was, at the time, it just seemed like a catch-all diagnosis. So we don't know why you're tired, so it must be chronic fatigue syndrome. Mm-hmm. And there was one doctor at one point who implied that it must be in my head. Which frankly just made me mad. Yeah. I thought, there's no way this is in my head. Nobody wants to feel this way. There's no way I made this up. And just because you don't understand why doesn't mean there is no reason. Yeah. Maybe that's a little bit of the stubbornness in me, that I was like, there's no way I'm accepting that. That was absolutely not in my head. There's got to be a reason for these symptoms. So year after year after year, time goes by. I'm working. I get married. We moved. There's all of these, you know, life events happening, and I would continue to have relapses. And no real understanding or explanation as to why. And it seemed like my baseline, after I would get over that setback, seemed to be a little lower. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really bounce back to what I thought I should feel like. Mm-hmm. Although there were times I was doing well, and I started running, and I was doing 5K races, even trained to run a marathon, and I was doing well, and then I'd have a setback again. So this just continued on and on and on, to the point where I eventually just had this constant state of just, the best way to describe it, I remember hearing Mark Hyman say this at one point, and it totally resonated, you just feel like crap. Yeah. And that was just the way it was. I just felt like crap all the time and had no idea why. continue going to doctor after doctor. At different times when I would move and different places I lived into various states and see different people, and nobody had any explanation. Although I did have an insightful doctor at Hopkins, as a matter of fact, when I had a setback, and I believe I did have a test that showed it was a recurrence of Epstein-Barr virus. And her prescription, and she specifically said it that way, my prescription was to walk outside in the sunshine every morning.
Wow.
And looking back at that advice now, like, that was so wise. Yeah. And so insightful. Yeah. And it did help. It really did make a difference, and I would find some patterns. It seemed like I would feel better in the summertime, and then I'm assuming it's because I'm outside and I'm getting sunshine and fresh air and vitamin D and the things that we get from the sun. But then I would still have these continuous setbacks, and this, I feel like crap all the time, don't know why. So I just started investigating things on my own. What can I do? What is this? There's got to be something up with my immune system.
And at this point, are you in your 30s when you start investigating on your own?
Yes. 30s into my 40s. Yes, I'm going to be dating myself here. So this is going on for a good 20 to 30
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
And so this kind of baseline keeps declining. That I'm just constantly worn out, don't know why. And then I started identifying some, I guess it was motivational things that I was finding. I was in a job and I didn't understand why I was feeling overwhelmed and stressed when there were other people I worked with in the same situation and had the same schedule, and they didn't seem overwhelmed or stressed.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there were some dysfunctional things at that job that I just assumed that's what it was, but I didn't understand that maybe it was something going on with me and why I was struggling to keep up.
Mm-hmm.
I was constantly feeling overwhelmed and working and not feeling I could be as efficient with my time as I used to be or as others, my colleagues, and that didn't make sense to me either, so it was just this constant feeling of fatigue. So I'm, again, going to more doctors. Nobody has any answers. At one point, then, I'm investigating, thinking, well, maybe it's low thyroid, because I was starting to have some of those symptoms. I had cold hands and feet. My hair was falling out. And just fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
Those are symptoms of low thyroid. So I go to a doctor, test the TSH, it's fine, must not be your thyroid.
Mm-hmm.
Some other mysterious symptoms started coming up. I was getting weird skin rashes and didn't understand. I go to the doctor, like, well, it must be, actually, they couldn't even tell me why. And when I asked, they didn't even seem interested in trying to figure out why. It was just, here, take this steroid,
mm-hmm.
Try this cream. If that doesn't clear it up, come back. We'll send you to a dermatologist.
Yep.
See a dermatologist at one point who also didn't just shrugged off my question as to what's causing it and said, oh, well, I get that too. Try this cream and see if this works. This works for me. Didn't answer why. I then started getting some chemical sensitivities, which had kind of been going on for a long time, but just seemed to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
Sensitivities to multiple smells, just all of the synthetic fragrances, air fresheners, detergents, all of those things. It would mm-hmm. just instant headaches. Skin issues, I think I mentioned, regular recurring sinus infections. That was just a routine thing. Every year I'd get that annual sinus infection,
mm-hmm.
go to the doctor, give me an antibiotic, clear it up, comes back the next year or the mm-hmm. next month or something else.
Yep.
It was constant. Eventually getting some gut problems with some food sensitivities and reactions to food, so I'm going down that rabbit hole of trying different dietary interventions, different elimination diets with varying degrees of effectiveness. Let's see, what else did I try? I'm sorry, go ahead.
This would be a good time for a break.
Okay.
And then we'll jump into what you found as you started independently researching. But basically, you've laid out a picture here of decades, 30 years plus of basically almost every system of your body starting to show
literally
signs of inflammation and dysfunction, from your skin to your gut to your hormones to neurologic, everything. Your entire body is one big ball of inflammation, it appears. And again, for the listeners out there, doctors are trained to identify some inflammation and then throw anti-inflammatories of different sorts, like the steroid creams for the skin. Even go to the expert dermatologist, and it'll just be usually a different version of a steroid cream or oral steroid or shot, or may move on to some other, you know, pharmaceutical anti-inflammatory. But anyways, we're up against this break. When we come back, the rest of the story. What was the diagnosis, the mystery diagnosis, and what was the treatment, and how's Angie doing today? So y'all stick with us. We will be right back. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards, You're the Cure.
Welcome back into You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's VeritasMedical.com.
All right, everybody, we're getting right back at it with Angie on her journey, her testimony. Again, this is to highlight the amazing resilience of the body and the human spirit. You keep digging. If you're sick, keep digging. I don't care if it's been 30 years and 30 doctors, including Hopkins. Keep looking. Real quick, again, a reminder, tomorrow night, 7 p.m. at the Underwood Exchange Building, 1320 Texas Avenue, I'll be speaking on the corruption in medicine. How does the love of money impact our health and healthcare system? Why are most published medical studies wrong? 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Right, Miss Angie, jumping right back in. Your body was highly inflamed mm-hmm. for 30 years and multiple doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep hearing the rest of the story.
So I thought I should mention some of the things that I tried. Many of those things, and I did at this point get to realize that the mainstream medical system was not helping me.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't getting answers and I wasn't getting better. So that's when I started, after I attempted all these things on my own, cleaning up as many things as I could find to clean up, and environmental things in my home and in my life, and food and clean water, clean air, clean food, all of those basics I was mm-hmm. doing on my own, which weren't making any significant difference. So then I realized I needed some additional guidance, and that's when I started coming to Veritas, which at that point I think was 2016. And it was very refreshing to find a practitioner who was willing to help me figure it out. I felt like we're detectives going through trying to find answers to a puzzle. And I didn't feel like I was totally on my own. Even if we didn't know what the answer was yet, I felt like I had a team in trying to help me figure it out. So we did multiple testing, various things, and again, nothing really showed up and nothing that we could figure out. And then there was a significant turning point in 2019, and I have to mention that throughout this time, this whole 30 years, I can't tell you how many times I have prayed for God to give me answers, for Him to explain what was going on, for me to understand, and sometimes just to help me get through the day, which was probably my daily prayer, just get through the day. And then at some point I realized we weren't created to just get through the day. We have a purpose, and we were designed to thrive, and I wasn't thriving. So throughout this, God's consistent answers to me were, trust me, and I'll show you. So I kept holding on to those words and continually to lean in and trust Him. So in 2019, at the beginning of the year, I did what I started doing several years ago, of doing a devotional called One Word, where you really pray about one particular word to help you kind of focus on throughout the year. And it's not a New Year's resolution. It's just focusing on this one particular word. And in prayer, my word for that year was clear. And it's always been interesting and insightful to see how God would use that word throughout the year. And it was almost always in unexpected ways. In the spring of that year, we had traveled. And on our way home, I started getting an upper respiratory infection. Started out as a typical sore throat. And then laryngitis, lost my voice. And, you know, kind of a normal upper respiratory infection. And after a week or two, you know, I started getting a little better from the symptoms, except my voice didn't come back. And it still didn't come back. And I think I had a follow-up appointment at that point with my practitioner at Veritas, and we were doing some additional testing, and it tried some IV therapies and some ozone and some other things to help with the help my immune system to address this infection. Feeling better from the symptoms, but my voice didn't come back. For 2 months, I had laryngitis. Like, something's not right. This isn't normal to just lose my voice. You know, that's not typical. So we're going down all these other testing. Had an appointment with ear, nose, and throat specialist who did a scope at some point to see if there's anything structurally wrong that would explain the laryngitis. Everything structurally is fine. So he refers me to voice therapy. Didn't know that was even a thing. Thankfully, by the time I got in to see for voice therapy, my voice had come back, but I did learn a lot. But it just opened my eyes that there's just more going on with my immune system not functioning properly. So I reached out and attempted to see an acupuncturist. Took a while to get in because he was booked. So my voice was back at this point, probably not 100%, but it was back, but it's still what is wrong with my immune system. My first appointment with acupuncture, shout out to Dr. Gafford, who is awesome, by the way. That very first acupuncture treatment was amazing. I came home that day. It was like clouds lifted. My brain was clear. Mm-hmm. I could think clearly. My energy levels felt normal. It was remarkable. It truly was. And then I go back to that word clear. It was so clear. I could think clearly. I came home and whipped off some projects that I had only considered doing for months and months and months and never had the time or energy or effort to do. And I whipped through them. It really was remarkable. So I thought, wow, if I would have known this, I would have done acupuncture a long time ago. So I continued with acupuncture appointments. Every time I'm going, I'm continually feeling better, feeling better, feeling better. A couple of months go by feeling really good. I thought, this is how I'm supposed to feel. I traveled and went back to visit family in the same house where I lived when I first got sick. And I started having some symptoms come back. I started feeling a little more fatigue. I started getting some sinus congestion that was coming back that I didn't have before. And I was having trouble sleeping. Like, something is in this environment that is not good for me. Something's triggering this. And then the fatigue started coming back. I come back home, and then I'm...
How long were you there?
A little less than a week.
Okay.
But then I'm declining.
Yep.
And all those gains that I had from before were gone.
So it didn't take a whole lot of time in that environment to send you right back downhill.
Not long at all.
Yeah.
And then I had another follow-up appointment with my practitioner, and we, like, there's got to be something in that environment, and he's bringing up, it's probably mold. So then we're investigating Dr. Shoemaker and the Shoemaker protocol, and I'm looking into that. So we started doing some of those tests and some of the protocols, particularly the binders. And I'll try to speed up a little bit because I know we're running short on time.
You're doing good. We've got a good 15, 20 minutes maybe.
Okay. So that, having that revelation and seeing that, then I could go back and look and see, now it all makes sense.
Yeah. See, clearly.
Clear.
All those symptoms, all for 30 years.
And every time I had a setback, there had to be another exposure to mold. Yeah. And this totally makes sense now. What was in that dust cup that originally blew up in my face? And I then remembered that later on we discovered in that bathroom that I was cleaning, there was a leaky pipe underneath the floor. So here's this mold growing under the floor that went unnoticed for who knows how long because we didn't see it. So when my progress from taking the binders didn't, I thought I wasn't seeing results as soon as I should because I really expected to get better quickly.
And let me just say real quick, binders that Angie's mentioning here is just taking, it can be a prescription like cholestyramine, an old cholesterol medicine, or they're natural binders like the zeolite we talked about last week. But they just bind up biotoxins or various toxins, heavy metals, but a biotoxin like a mold toxin.
So I was then sought out a practitioner who was trained in the Shoemaker protocol.
In Dr. Richie Shoemaker, sorry. Richie Shoemaker's kind of the guru of this mold syndrome, this sick building syndrome, black mold driving inflammatory processes in the body and immune system dysregulation. So that's the Shoemaker protocol, Dr. Richie Shoemaker.
So the Shoemaker protocol is based on what's referred to as CIRS, chronic inflammatory response syndrome, that's triggered by exposure to biotoxins. And that's what Dr. Shoemaker discovered. This was in the 90s, and ironically, I remember that. He's from Maryland. I lived in Maryland at the time when all of this was being discovered, which a little bit of irony with that. He was finding it in seamen who were working on the Chesapeake Bay, and they were exposed to biotoxins in the water from Fusaria. And these fishermen and seamen were getting these symptoms that he later then saw also happening in people exposed to water-damaged buildings. That's kind of the backstory of how he found this syndrome. So what I found with CIRS, and then I learned a ton of information about what's going on, and it really did explain everything I experienced, really my whole life. So there's a group of people in the population, because there is a genetic susceptibility. About 25% of the population whose immune system is different than others. So normally, when we're exposed to biotoxins, which are from molds and other things, our immune system tags that toxin as being harmful, and then our immune system can clear that out and remove it. But for those of us who are genetically susceptible, that tagging doesn't happen. So the toxin stays in our system and accumulates, which then triggers immune reactions. It can affect the circulatory system. It then causes an increase in inflammation, which can then affect the brain. It affects protective barriers, mucosal membranes in the sinuses and the gut, explaining all of those symptoms. It affects part of the brain, part of the hypothalamus, which then can then affect hormonal syndromes. It can affect the adrenals, the sex hormones, antidiuretic hormone, which affects water balance. All of these things then can lead to a whole host of symptoms that are multi-system and really can be debilitating, honestly, but can vary. And that's, I think, what leads to some confusion about it, because there could be a whole family in a home that has water damage, and some people are affected, some people aren't, some are sick, some aren't, and some that are sick, their symptoms might not be the same. Some might have more cognitive type symptoms, confusion and so forth. Others might have anxiety, depression. Someone else might have joint pain, fibromyalgia, fatigue, all of these things. And then then they're confused and thinking that they all have different syndromes, but it could all be linked to that exact same scenario and that exact same exposure.
Yeah, and I just want to chime in here that it can even be here in West Texas. I had a patient last week who she ended up being the same mold syndrome, but her thought was it couldn't be mold because we live in a dry climate, and her house was brand new, I think a year and a half or 2 years old. So she thought, well, I'm in a new home, so it can't be that. So it is tricky. It's exceedingly difficult to nail the diagnosis because the symptoms can be so varied and widespread, and all the family could be fine except for the one person who's got the genetic susceptibility. So it's a very difficult situation for sure.
Yeah, we definitely checked out our house. We had, I was telling you about my wife during the break, and so she was concerned about that, dealing with it for a long time. So we had a mold test done just to make sure that to rule that out. And at first I was against it, saying, oh, we live in a dry desert. I mean, we don't, mold around here is so rare, but you never know. But we had the test done to make sure, and we were clean.
Yeah.
But it's not a bad idea to get that tested.
And that's maybe a whole other show, too, is
sure.
The testing, because there's lots of different tests, some more accurate than others. But one of the things with you, I mean, you tested your body as far as your inflammatory response syndrome, CIRS, C-I-R-S, chronic inflammatory response syndrome. There will be markers in the body that are off the chart, certain blood markers, blood tests, off the chart. So that just tells you you are in that syndrome. Your immune system is so deranged, but now we got to go figure out, well, why? Where's the biotoxin? And maybe it's mold, but there are other biotoxins out there too. But you go ahead, Angie, before I go off on a tangent some more.
Yeah.
And that was what was confusing also, because all of my standard blood work had always been fine. Even the CRP, which is a blood marker for inflammation, was always low.
Yeah.
And so I thought, oh, well, inflammation isn't the issue. But when I started seeing the CIRS practitioner and we're going through the more specific markers, those were the markers that are not normally tested, and those were elevated and were off. There were various types of testing, and this can be a whole really overwhelming once you figure out what's going on, because it's not only how it's affecting the body, it's also your environment. So you have to deal with the exposure as well, which is a whole other topic. But for the individual, for the health testing, there's a variety of things that can be done. And I'll tell you the tests that I had done, and all of which confirmed the diagnosis of CIRS. One is cheap and easy that anyone can do, and it's on a website. It's on Dr. Shoemaker's website, the Surviving Mold website. It's called the VCS, Visual Contrast Screening, and it's just a quick, easy visual test that you can do online, and it is an indicator that there are biotoxins present. And it's about $15, I believe, for the test. You could do it on your own online. It asks you some questions. And that is one way to kind of move forward in a quick, easy, cheap thing that anyone can do.
SurvivingMold.com is that website.
Then there's a series of blood work and blood markers to be checked. And that you can also find that list on the Surviving Mold website of what markers. You just have to have a practitioner who's willing to order those tests. And thankfully, I do have to say my insurance did cover all the blood work that I had done, because it can get pricey if insurance doesn't cover it. And those were also confirming of CIRS. There's an MRI, a brain MRI, and then a follow-up analysis of that that's called a neuroquant, and you can look at Dale Bredesen, who's done research on Alzheimer's, who regularly uses that in Alzheimer's patients. That can also be an indicator, because it's showing what parts of the brain are affected, and there are distinct regions of the brain affected by mold, and interestingly, Lyme affects different regions of the brain. But I do want to say that this is all treatable. That's the encouraging part of all of this. There's like two branches of remember my old practitioner telling me there's two, describing it this way, is there's kind of two branches of our immune system. There's our innate immune system and our adaptive immune system. And autoimmune disease is like an overactivation of that adaptive immune system. SIRS is like an overreaction of our innate immune system, which can be multi-system and debilitating, as we heard. But it is treatable, and he said it's actually easier to treat than autoimmune disease. So there is encouragement, but really one of the critical pieces is getting out of the exposure and removing that exposure, and definitely using binders to remove those toxins that have been in the body and unable to be removed. I think there were a lot of misconceptions about SIRS, and I definitely had some, because at one point mold did cross my radar as, well, maybe that was what was going on. And I thought, well, that might explain that initial illness that I had, but it didn't explain why I went through 30 years in living in multiple states and all over the country. And until I realized that being out of the exposure doesn't clear my body from the toxins that I was exposed to, and correct the overreaction of the inflammatory process that was going on. And so each one of those things could be addressed, and the process has been eye-opening. It has definitely not been a race or a sprint. It's definitely a journey that can be with some ups and downs, and I have to be super, super, super vigilant and very diligent about my environment and any exposures that I have. Even just walking into a building, a good example is museums and antique stores are really not good environments for me, because a lot of the things kept in those places have been stored in water-damaged buildings. And those possessions still have those mycotoxins and mold spores, which can be inflammatory and triggers for me and for potentially anyone else who is sensitive.
Mm-hmm. Where would you say you're at symptom-wise? If you had to scale it, you know, a scale of 1 to 10, we always talk about with 10 being the worst, like fatigue and just all the stuff you had. Compared to today, where were you at your worst in those 30 years, and then today, where would you say you're, or a percentage or whatever?
When I was completely flattened and I was debilitated, I was at a 10. That was horrendous. I was non-functional at that point. Going after figuring this out and knowing what was, I knew there had to be a reason why. Figuring that out and going through the treatment process, at this point, I'm probably around a 2. I'm not where I really fully recovered. I also had a physical injury over the summer that kind of triggered some inflammation that slowed down that process. So I'm still working on some things, but I'm significantly better than I was. At one of my appointments with my SIRS practitioner, he made the comment, which was a little startling and eye-opening, and I can concur with what he said. He said, you just saved yourself from Alzheimer's disease. The brain is absolutely affected by these toxins, but it is treatable. And that I find rather heartbreaking, that there are people suffering and don't know why. And not saying that every Alzheimer's patient has SIRS, but it's definitely one contributing factor for many people. And once it's identified, it can definitely be treated, but it does take finding a practitioner willing to work with you. And
well, and one comment I want to say for the listeners out there is the majority of people don't have this genetic predisposition. I'm not saying mold or other biotoxins aren't good for you, but you, a lot of folks, most folks, should be able to clear this. And not just with these kind of symptoms or biotoxins, but in general for any symptom you have. Even Wade was asking me some at the break. We won't get into that HIPAA information.
You can, I don't care.
But my answer to him and my answer to everybody is cover the basics first. You know, no matter what it is, if it's even migraines and fatigue that Angie started with 30 years ago, cover those basics. Give the body what it needs. Maybe it's just missing magnesium, that beautiful mineral that does help a lot of people's migraines because there's a lack of magnesium. That's a whole nother. We won't get into it, but I'm just saying, cover the basics. Give the nutrition you need. Give the hydration, the movement, the sunshine, the peace, adrenaline dominance that we talked about a few weeks ago with Morley. The body can't function in adrenaline dominance from chronic stress. So cover the foundational things, and the vast majority of people get way better or even complete remission, even of the worst autoimmune conditions or various diseases. So don't forget that. Don't go chasing zebras. I was talking about at the break, when we live in West Texas and you hear hoofbeats, expect to go find a horse running around. Don't go looking for zebras. And Angie did that. She covered the basics. She laid a strong foundation. She sort of breezed over that because we had to get to this other stuff, but she cleaned up her diet, her hydration. I mean, she was doing those basic things, and it had very minimal to no impact. Mm-hmm. And even with the acupuncture, which was incredible with Dr. Mm-hmm. Gafford, I'm still what was driving that immune system to be out of balance, because I think what he was doing, we'll have to get him on the show to explain it more, but he was bringing that immune system more into balance, bringing energy back into those acupuncture meridians and having a tremendous symptomatic relief. Mm-hmm. But still, there were deeper things that were driving it. So y'all just be encouraged. We don't need to fear mold, fear Lyme. You know, Lyme comes from tick bites, but also mosquitoes and chiggers, anything that sucks your blood. But we don't need to run around, you know, dousing ourselves with DEET to try to never be bitten by a bug again. Root canal anaerobic bacteria that live in the base of a root canal. There's all kinds of biotoxin potentially exposures out there. Cover the basics. So I just want to throw that in there. And then when the basics aren't doing it, go deeper. Mm-hmm. And find a practitioner who can go deeper with you. And that's not throwing the conventional guys under the bus, like I started out at the top of the show. We aren't trained in this, period. It's like taking you got a diesel pickup that's messed up, and you take them to a mechanic that only works on gasoline engines. You're probably not going to get fixed. It's not because that gas engine mechanic's mean or evil or bad or stupid. No, we're just not trained in it. So if you're not trained in it, you're not going to be able to get the results. And that's a big reason why the American healthcare system is the worst healthcare system in the world as far as outcomes. Mm-hmm. We get the worst outcomes. We're the sickest country in the world, dying the youngest, worst infant mortality, worst in there every way. I've gone over that many times. Won't go over that again. But we aren't trained in it. This is a system problem. This is a quote-unquote healthcare, really sick care, management of symptoms. But it's a system-wide problem. We take our supposedly best and brightest, send them to medical school, program them to do protocols that all they do, it's a matching game, matching symptoms to a diagnosis. Diagnosis goes to a pharmaceutical for symptom treatment. It's just the way it is. We need a massive overhaul of this system where we can dive into root causes. But anyways, come hear about that tomorrow night, 7 p.m. at Thunderwood Cotton Exchange Building, 1320 Texas Avenue. I'll be diving deeply into that. Angie, a couple minutes left. I'm going to give you the last word. Number one, I want to say great job for turning to God, getting your strength of your sense of strength and determination. And he told you, just be patient, keep going. I'm going to be there. Keep looking. Don't give up. And you kept going. So good job. Proud of you.
Well, thank you. And maybe that's a little bit of my stubborn personality, but I think if anyone is in a situation where they're discouraged, where they're not getting answers, they're having that, I feel like crap and don't know why, mm-hmm. don't give up. Yeah. Keep pursuing answers. Find something and try it. Be willing to try different things and ultimately trust God. Mm-hmm. He knows what's going on. Mm-hmm. He knows why. Seek his wisdom and guidance.
Amen.
I go back to those two answers. He consistently said to me, trust me and I'll show you.
Yeah.
And he has. He has shown me, and it was such a faith builder, knowing that he is true to his word, and mm-hmm. he does answer prayer, and he does care about us, and he cares about the details. Mm-hmm. And he did show me very clearly, mm-hmm. no doubt, very clearly, because it absolutely explains every single symptom and situation and experience I've had my whole life. Mm-hmm. And God is good.
Yeah. Amen. All right. What an amazing story. Thank you, Angie. I know it's encouraged a lot of folks to hear your testimony. So I appreciate you being here today. Wade, thank you for the airwaves to spread the truth.
Oh, that's a good story. That was a great story, by the way. And
thank you.
I think others that can take it to heart, if they have something wrong and they don't know what's going on, you know, as Dr. Edwards says, dive a little deeper. Mm-hmm. You know, check off the easy boxes first and not working, dive deeper. Keep diving deeper. But find yourself a physician that will do that with you, because a lot of them don't. A lot of them are like, here's a pill, go away. And that doesn't work. Okay. Good stuff, Dr. Edwards. As always, you've been listening to You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com. Archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's VeritasMedical.com. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you back here next time around. Stick around. We'll be back with more right here on AM 580 and 95.9 FM.